talking some more about faith. Here's a title, In the Crosshairs. If you're in the crosshairs, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it could be a bad thing. Could be a good thing. There's a lot of things to be afraid of in our world. Three little old ladies, sweet little old ladies, decided to take a trip to New York City. And you'd think they'd be safe in their hotel. And back there, we're in an elevator going down to the lobby. And a man on one particular floor came in, and they kept going down, and the man said, "Sit down." Little old ladies were really scared and afraid, and they did what the man said. They sat down on the floor of the elevator. Next floor came, and that man got off, and they thought, "Wow, it's really scary." And that night, they got a card delivered with three dozen roses. And the little card said, "I want to apologize. I'm really sorry. I didn't know what to do, so I just got off on the next floor. Obviously, y'all didn't see the dog that was with me in the elevator." And then it was signed Reggie Jackson. There's a lot of things to be afraid of in this world, and in the life of Jacob, there was no exception. We remember 20 years prior to our story in Genesis chapter 32 that Esau wanted to take Jacob's life. He was so mad, so angry, because Jacob had taken his birthright and his blessing. And so Esau had ill will towards Jacob, and so he fled, was a fugitive, and went to a place called Padan Aram. And there for 20 years, he spent working for his uncle Laban. And his uncle really did not have good feelings or thoughts towards his nephew as well, and he kept changing his wages and just was not nice to him. But the Bible says, as we looked at last time, that God blessed Jacob in spite of Laban, and so that he had a lot of livestock. In fact, when he's leaving with Rachel and Leah, he has 11 boys and one girl. The 12th is yet to be born, which would be the youngest, which would be Benjamin. But he's afraid that Laban will try to do something to him in a bad way should Jacob try to go back home. And the Lord had told him to go back home. He had actually spoken to him through the angel of the Lord and had said, "It's time to go back home." So he was afraid of Laban, and so he stole away at night, the scripture says. And it took about 3 days before Laban heard about it, because he was in a different place. And then it took him several days to catch up with Jacob. And there, if it weren't for the intervention of God, Laban might have wanted to take Jacob's life as well and take Rachel and Leah and all the kids and all his livestock and all of that and take it back to Padan Aram. But God did intervene. And so we see Jacob here in the crosshairs of two individuals that really mean harm towards him. But what Jacob's going to learn here is that God has him exactly where he wants him, right in the crosshairs of his sights. Because the one who's going to stand in Jacob's way is not Laban, and it's not Esau. It's going to be the Lord. He's going to stand in the way. And so I want to pick up the story here in Genesis chapter 32 is we learn a bit, learn a little bit more about how God deals with us in the area of faith. And so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two camps. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So Jacob is about to come back home. He's about to arrive, and he knows he's going to have to face Esau. He doesn't know what the feelings that Esau have 20 years after the fact with Jacob. And so he's going to divide his families into two different camps. He's going to send for a messenger. He's going to send a messenger to go and tell Esau that he's arrived, and hopes to receive message back about whether it's favorable or not before he shows up on the scene. And he hears that Esau is surely coming towards him, since the messenger gave him the word, and he's coming with 400 of his men on horseback. And so you can just imagine what Jacob is thinking. He's thinking probably the worst. Why do you need 400 people on horseback to come and say hello to your brother? Well, God's working through all of this, and so Jacob, he leaves all of his family there, and he goes across the brook, and he goes and he gets off by himself. And really, that's a wonderful thing to do. You know, when you're in a crisis, you got to make a major decision. Boy, you need to spend time with God. You need to have a little visit with the Lord. And this is what he's doing. He needs the Lord. And so he prays, and the Bible says that the angels of God meet him there, and they comfort him. They give him some words of comfort. And this is reminding him of 20 years earlier when he was there, when he saw, remember the angels descending and ascending on the ladder, Jacob's ladder, going from heaven to earth and back to heaven, saying that God is with him, that God is interested in his affairs, that he's not alone. And God made a promise to him in this very same place 20 years prior to this particular day, that God was going to be with him, just as he was with Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. So God was going to be with him. It's a one thing to hear those things, and then it's another, this is where faith comes in, where we actually believe what God has said. And the issue for all of us, including Jacob, is it's not enough just to know it. You have to believe it. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, we are given one prerequisite for eternal life and our sins forgiven: to believe. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There he prays, and he says several things in his prayer. He has grown in his faith. One of the things he says to the Lord is, "Have mercy on me because I'm not worthy." So he was honest about his dishonesty. He knows. In fact, when he sent the messenger to tell his brother Esau that he had arrived, he also sent gifts ahead in several stages. And he used the word appease, that he might appease his brother. Some people think, well, that's a cop-out. He wasn't really trusting God. He was another scheme. No, the word appease in Hebrew means to cover over. What he was asking Esau to do through his gifts was to look beyond his guilt, to look beyond his sin and his deceit that was exhibited towards his brother. And of course, that's what God asks all of us to do with each other, because this is what he's done for each of us through the cross, through what Jesus did on the cross. So he's having this prayer with God, and he's also reminding God of the promises that he made to him. He says, "I remember, Lord, you said this to me. You said this to me. You said this to me. But Lord, I'm not worthy." So it's a really good prayer. But God had further work to do in Jacob's life. That's the journey of faith, isn't it? As we're growing in time and experience and relationships with each other, you know, I feel like that I'm growing every week. I really do that. I really do. Do you feel that way? You should feel that way, that you're growing in your faith. You should feel that your faith is a little stronger this week than it was last week. You're a little better prepared to face the trials of life this week than you were last week. Why? Because you have been walking with the Lord and choosing to obey Him and what He's commanded you. And the more you choose to obey the Lord, the stronger you get in your faith, the more mature you get in your faith, so that you're not a child anymore in the faith. And that's God's desire for all of us. And God, as we know, will use the crosshairs of the circumstance of life to teach us these things. And so the Bible tells us that as he's praying there in this place by himself and no one else is around, that he gets in a wrestling match with a man. Now, we're not told at the beginning of this wrestling match where this man came from. It's like out of nowhere. And it seems very mysterious. It seems very strange. And it is. There's a lot of mystery shrouded in this experience with God and Jacob. And Bible scholars from centuries have tried to understand this passage. And we all must admit there are things we're just not going to know about it. And we don't understand. We will understand when we get to heaven. Nevertheless, there are some things in this experience that God had with Jacob that we can learn, that we can understand and glean from, that will help us in our faith as it helped us with Jacob. Now, the Bible tells us that he's going to be wrestling with this man. Have any of you ever wrestled before? You know, you probably did with your brother. Sister, maybe, I don't know, but you probably wrestled some when you were growing up. I didn't know this when we went to Utah skiing. Some of the guys that were renting the ski stuff to us, their ears were all chewed up here on the bottom of their lobes. And the boys said, "Oh, they've been wrestlers, Dad. That's what happens to you a lot of times if you don't wear the headgear they give you, and it chews up the lobe of your ear from wrestling." Well, wrestling is a sport that calls for an incredible amount of energy. I mean, in 3 minutes' time, you can be out, spent out. Okay. Now, Jacob, I'm not exactly certain of his age, but I can tell you this, he's 20 years older than the last time he showed up at this place. Okay? And he's going to wrestle not for 3 minutes, not for 5 minutes, not for all night long. Now, let me tell you about this guy a little bit. I went back this week and I studied that passage of Scripture again where Jacob showed up at the well at Padan Aram 20 years prior when he had left home, traveled 500 miles, shows up at the area of his uncle's, only he didn't know that yet. And he shows up at this well, and these shepherds are there. There are several shepherds with all of their livestock there. And the Bible makes some interesting comments. It says that this well is sealed with a rock, and it says a large rock. And the reason for that would be so that critters couldn't get in there, or sand or dirt, and would contaminate the water. Let's don't open it up and use it until we need it, in other words. Well, Jacob is puzzled when he gets there in the text because the shepherds are just standing there. And there's still a lot of daylight left in the time period. So why aren't you guys watering your flock so you can take off and let them graze while there's still daylight? And he questions about that. And they say, "Well, we're waiting basically for some other guys to get here so we can remove that stone." Well, then the Bible says that's when this young lady is walking towards the well, and Jacob says, "Who's that gal right there?" And they said, "Well, that's Laban's daughter, Rachel. And she came with her her dad's livestock. Well, the Bible tells us something very interesting right there, that Jacob went over and removed that large stone all by himself. Now, you can call that testosterone or whatever you want, because the young lady showed up and he wanted to show off. I'm just telling you, Jacob was one strong dude. This is no mealy mouth. This guy's a man. And apparently he hadn't lost any of his strength, because he's not going to wrestle even with just a man all night. He's going to wrestle with God all night. You say, boy, what does that look like? I don't know, but the text indicates this, that he would have prevailed upon God if God wouldn't have touched, put his finger on the hip of his socket and dislocated it. So this guy's pretty strong. You say, well, how can you prevail upon God if you're a man? Well, God has to let you. God has to let you. And you see, that's exactly what God's done with all of us. He's let you prevail upon him. And thank God he has. You see, he's limited himself. He's so holy and so righteous, yet one day we're going to see his face. One day we're going to live in his home. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. God had to allow that to happen. And of course he did, because the sacrifice paid for our debts in full. The punishment was dealt its final blow. And so we can know the Lord. But to get close to him? So what was God doing in Jacob's life? Well, I think one of the things that Jacob had been doing, as we've been talking about, as he's in this crosshair of the Lord in this wrestling match, is he has been involved in manipulation and scheming in order to try to get ahead. In some cases, just to keep his head above the water. He wasn't necessarily doing this over in Laban's place, but he was certainly doing this in Esau's, but he's saying, I've got to look out for myself here, because my uncle, if he has this way, he's going to take advantage of me, which his uncle did try to do that. But the Bible says the only reason that Laban was not able to take advantage of Jacob is not because of the scheming that Jacob did, but because God had made a promise, and God always keeps his promises. And God watched over him. And so Jacob still needs to learn a little bit more about that. So he's in this wrestling match. It looks as though the text says that he's going to prevail upon the Lord. And the Lord touches his hip socket so that it dislocates. Now, I'm sure that it fully dislocated. He cannot wrestle anymore at this point. He has to hang on. He's just simply going to hang on to God, not knowing who he is yet, okay? Not knowing who this man is through most of the night. But I know what dislocation is about, because of football. Well, my shoulders were dislocating out of socket, and they would sometimes partially, sometimes fully. But my shoulder would always go back into place. But there was permanent damage there. But a hip socket's a little different, because he had permanent damage in his hip. And even though it went back into socket in some form or fashion, it never was going to be the same. And the Bible says that he limped for the rest of his life. In other words, he wrestled with God and had the limp to prove it. Now, the Lord at this point gives him a new name. He says, let me tell you what your name is not anymore. It's not going to be Jacob anymore. It's not going to be the one who supplanted, who grabbed on the heel of his older brother Esau in order to pull him down. It's not going to be schemer anymore. It's going to be Israel. Israel, this is where that name came from. The same Israel that's over there in the Middle East today, it came from this experience right here, in case you didn't know that. And it means to prevail with God and men. That's what it means. It is a precursor, this name that is given to Jacob, of all of the nation of Israel, and of course, even all of the Gentiles, of all the other nations of the world who will someday put their faith in the Messiah that comes through Israel. But it's a precursor primarily through the Israelites as they go in and dispossess the land in order to possess it in Canaan. They will prevail with God and with man because God has made a promise. God is going to make a way for them. And so this word incorporates all of that kind of thinking. But then what I want you to see before we close here and just some thoughts is I want us just to look at this experience that Jacob had with God. The sun is about to come up. He's been wrestling all night. Now his hip is dislocated. Now he's incapacitated in many respects. He can't walk. I remember trying to tackle people after my shoulder would dislocate. It's just, you can't do it. You can't even move your arm. It's just limp. It'll just hang there. Well, now he's trying to walk on that leg, much less wrestle with it. He can't do it. So what's he going to do? Well, not only is he a very, very, very strong man, but he is very tenacious. He is not willing to lose this wrestling match. Even though his hip has been dislocated, he's not going to quit. And so he can't wrestle anymore, so what does he do? He grabs on to the man and he hangs on to him. And you can just see the man as he's trying to get him away. He's trying to get himself away from Jacob. And he's, you know, trying to get him off. And Jacob says, the Bible says, he will not let go. He is so tenacious. And what is all that about? Well, Jacob says something to the man. The sun is about to come up, and so you can see over the horizon, it's starting to get lighter. And now Jacob realizes that he's been wrestling with God. And in fact, he's going to say, I've seen God face to face, and I have still survived. I've survived it. I have lived through it. Because the Bible says, no man can see God's face in all of his glory and live. But God limited himself in what Jacob was able to see. But as Jacob is holding on, as he will not let go, he says something to the Lord. You remember what he said? I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Now, when we think of the word blessing, we think of a lot of things. What he was really looking at, what he was requesting, was the favor of God. You know what that means? That means that God is with you. He's saying, I am not going to let go, Lord, until I know that you're with me. Because I'm not going to go out there and face Esau all by myself. I'm not going to face the rest of my life and all the things that I've got to deal with unless I know that you're with me. I need to know that your favor is with me. Now, I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking that's pretty incredible stuff. You see, he called this place two camps. I want you to think about that for a minute. And there were two camps there. Here was one of those camps. And here was the second. No, not really. Here was the second camp. You see, Jacob, he went across that little brook. He went across it as Jacob. But he's going to come back as Israel. He's going to come back with a new name. And I'll tell you what the difference is between these two camps. This guy right here, he's holding on to the Lord. He won't let go. You know why he won't let go? because the things of God are meaningful to him. That's why. This guy over here, remember that guy? For a bowl of soup, he sold his birthright. Didn't think a thing about it. You see, for Israel, the things of God, the spiritual things of God, the commands of God, the principles of God, they meant something to him. So in our lives, when we think about this, we can ask ourselves, which camp are we in? And how would you answer that question? Really, how would you? Well, you would look at what God has commanded, what God has said, what God has given to us in principle. You would look at what God has instructed us to do, to live our lives, to think our thoughts, the words that we say, the words that we don't say, the motives that we have, the way we treat other people, the way we go to church. God has given us instruction about all those things. When it comes to your decision making, which camp are you in? As you look at your life, as you look at the time that you spend with God, do you ever spend any time, and this is not something we do every day, this would be just something we might do maybe a few times in our lifetime, hanging on to God and saying, Lord, I'm not leaving till you bless me. I got to know. You see, because what you've said and what you've done, it's important to me. It may not be important to the rest of the world, but it's important to me. Lord, I want to be in this camp right here so that I can face all the Esaus of the world. So I don't know all what God did or said in that wrestling match with Jacob, who became Israel. But I tell you, for all his faults, wow, he did something pretty good this day. God blessed him for it. He'll bless you. Hang on to him. Don't let go. And remind him every day in your quiet time that what he's told you to do, it's important and meaningful to you. That's right. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Father, thank you for your crosshairs, for putting us where we need to be, to love us, to care about us, and to show us where you want us to go and what you want us to be. And Lord, would you teach us, would you help us through your grace so that the word you've spoken through the word of Scripture will become more important and more meaningful to us today. That our relationship with you would start to become number one. Help us. We want to hold on to you. not for all eternity. Thank you for the lesson that you gave us today through the life of Jacob, who you gave a new name to, Israel. The Bible tells us you've also given us a new name. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll have